Hill Baptist Seminary. And I want to welcome each and every one of you to the course that I'll be teaching called The Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Just some things I want to go over before we begin. Lesson number one. First of all, what's needed for the course that I'll be teaching? First of all, you'll need a King James Bible. Next, the required textbook for the course is entitled The Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit, and the author is Charles C. Ryrie, and it's the revised and expanded edition. And also, you should have your questions as we go through the course to be able to answer your questions. And also to give you the roadmap of where we're going to be going on our journey in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, an outline has been provided for you. And I'll probably stick very close to that outline. Amen. Unless, of course, the Spirit of God, as I'm teaching, I like to allow the Holy room for the Holy Spirit of God to maybe take us on some little detours. But primarily, don't worry, primarily I'm going to stick very close, item by item, to that outline as our roadmap. Then also, I've provided you with some recommended reading. And, of course, I said that the required textbook for the course is The Holy Spirit by Charles C. Ryrie, but I've also provided a list of some other readings, books and pamphlets and some other things to really round out your study, your individual study, on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And in that list are provided, amen, are provided, the course, the titles and the author, and also where you're able to obtain the books and pamphlets and so forth and so on. And again, this is recommended reading. It's not required for the course. The only thing, only textbook that is required is The Holy Spirit by Charles C. Ryrie. But I just encourage you, as time permits, and maybe not at this time, but when on your individual study, to purchase these books. They'd be very good for your library to have. I recommend each one highly. The last one there on the list, Tongues, Signs, and Healing by James W. Knox, is probably one of the best works that I've seen on that subject in itself. And we're going to deal with that in our study later on there. Alrighty, that's about it for the administrative things. Before I delve into lesson number one, I'd like to begin our study with a word of prayer, and also recommend every time that you open up the Word of God for your own individual study or be a course that you're taking with Andersonville, I just encourage you to pray. Pray for God's blessing and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen, in your studies, because we know that the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, is the author of the Holy Bible, the Word of God. So let's open right now with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to teach this course, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the most important doctrines in the Bible, amen. A good foundation, amen, in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit will help us to understand other doctrines, amen, more clearly. Father, I pray that you would bless each and every student that's taking this course, the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that they would be as blessed as I was in putting this material together, dear Lord. Father, we just pray for the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We pray that our hearts and minds would be open and teachable. We know there is just, it's really an exhaustive, a very deep subject, amen, in the Word of God, but help me to present those things that are of necessity for our students to have a good strong foundation in the in understanding of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And Father, now, I just ask all these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Alrighty, lesson number one. We're going to have a little bit of an outline here. I'd like to talk just a little bit as we look at our outline under the introduction. First of all, the study of the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology. Pneumatology. In the New Testament alone, there are some 261 passages which refer to the Holy Spirit. He is mentioned 56 times in the Gospels, 57 times in the book of Acts, 112 times in the Pauline epistles, and 36 times in the remaining New Testament. The study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit is properly called, as I mentioned, pneumatology. And in the Greek language, the word pneuma means wind or breath. And you may be familiar with other words that come from this root, like pneumatic drill, which is driven by compressed air, or pneumonia, which is an illness that affects the lungs, your breath. So we know that the Spirit is the breath of God. The breath of God is His Spirit. Amen. You may ask, well, why study the Holy Spirit? Amen. Why should we even spend all this time to study the Holy Spirit? Well, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is very important to understand. And in fact, the Holy Spirit is the least understood person of the Godhead. Just about every heresy deals with the work of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do is look at some of these heresies just briefly to show you how some of them, or all of them, deal with the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in inspiring the Bible and preserving it. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 21, the Bible tells us, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Inspiration of God is by the breath of God, the Spirit of God. We must remember that inspiration not only includes the originals, but also the preserved copies, the Authorized Version 1611. So when men begin to talk about the need to have higher criticism, biblical criticism, and that the church and men must preserve the scriptures, what in fact they are doing is infringing upon the work of the Holy Spirit. Next, when someone tells you that you have to be baptized in water to get saved, again, they are infringing on the work of the Holy Spirit. Because in fact, according to the Word of God, the Holy Bible, it is the Holy Spirit that baptizes you and gets you saved. Amen. A person is saved by the Spirit's work of conviction, conversion, regeneration, the new birth. Let's see what Jesus said. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, a religious leader came to Jesus, amen. In fact, we're told that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And we read, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." And listeth is just the old English for meaning where it pleases our desires, amen. "And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Not of water. You and I were born of water when we got born the first time, the physical birth. Amen? We were surrounded by water in our mother's womb, in the amniotic sac. Amen? But you got born again, and I got born again, when we got born of the Spirit. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." There's the first birth, the physical birth, the fleshly birth, amen. "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." There's the spiritual birth. There's the birth where we're born again by the Spirit of God. Everybody who tells you that you have to do something to be saved is denying the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is conversion. That's who saves someone. And when man teaches salvation by works, again, he's attacking the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A lot of times we have to be very careful. We hear people, "Well, I saved someone," or "I led someone to the Lord," amen. Praise God, I'm not putting down soul winning, because that's a very important doctrine in the Word of God. But we have to remember is we don't do the saving. We don't do the convicting of sin. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. What we are to do is we're vessels of the Lord, and we're to present the gospel, the good news that Christ died. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. We're to present the message. We're the messengers, amen. We're to plant those seeds. The Word of God is seed, amen. We'll look at some emblems and some symbols of the Holy Ghost later on, but we know in the Bible that seed is the Word of God, amen. So we're to plant the seed, and the Holy Spirit is to do the work, amen. Anyone who teaches you can lose your salvation after you get saved is a misunderstanding and a misrepresentation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at why it's so important to study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, because all of our heresies come from a misunderstanding or a misrepresentation of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that keeps you saved. Look in Ephesians chapter number 4 with me. Ephesians chapter number 4. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 4, in verse number 30, the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So once you're saved, amen, once you're born again by the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Spirit that keeps you saved, that seals you, amen, with a seal that will not be broken until the day of redemption, amen. So when someone teaches that after you're saved you can lose your salvation, is teaching a heresy because of a misunderstanding or misrepresentation of the work of the Holy Spirit. Another heresy that often we run into is the idea of a second work of grace. where you do something to bring about some second work, again, this is a denial of the Holy Spirit. This business of soul winning by promotions and soul winning by programs is a denial of the Holy Spirit in dealing with men. The Holy Spirit chooses to use you and I. He allows us to get in on the glory. But you know what the truth is? He could do all the work and take all the credit for it. But praise God that you and I have an opportunity to get in. Amen. To be messengers. To have the ministry of reconciliation. To tell others how they can have peace with God and be right with God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit and His work produces every heresy. I cannot stress that enough. That's why it's so important to really have a good foundation and understanding of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. For example, salvation by works, loss of security, eternal security, Calvinism, men coming up with Bible versions. These are all byproducts of having a misunderstanding or misrepresentation of the work of the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to find is a proper understanding of the Holy Spirit is basic to many Bible doctrines. For example, inspiration of the Bible, important aspects of salvation, and many facets of the Christian life. My dear friend, if you understand the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, then you will understand the Christian life. So that's a bit of an introduction on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now we want to turn to point number two. We're going to look at the personality of the Holy Spirit. The personality of the Holy Spirit, amen. First of all, under the personality of the Holy Spirit, we want to see how the Holy Spirit has attributes of personality. And we've listed three attributes: intelligence, emotion, will, or volition. Let's look first at intelligence. The Holy Spirit knows and searches the things of God. Turn with me, would you, in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians with me, chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And verses number 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. You see that? The Bible says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what a man knoweth, the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So verse 10 shows us and tells us clearly that the Spirit searches all things. And then we see in verse 11 verse 11 shows that the Spirit knows. The Spirit knows, amen. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Look at also, we want to compare, look at some other verses under this. Isaiah chapter 11. The book of Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And of course, it's talking, it's a reference in verse number 1 to Jesus Christ. Let's get the context in verse 1. And there, Isaiah 11, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And of course, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, prophetic reference. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So we see there the Spirit is called the Spirit, amen, of wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Amen. Let's look also in Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 17. The Bible tells us that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And of course, that Spirit he's talking about is the Holy Spirit, a Spirit of knowledge. Amen. A Spirit of wisdom and revelation. We're also told in the Scriptures, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, that the Holy Spirit possesses a mind. Look at in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, we read in verse number 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We see that. What is the mind of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit, and of course, Spirit in that verse has a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. So we see that the Scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit possesses a mind. We also see in 1 Corinthians, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, that the Holy Spirit is able to teach people, save people, born again people, amen. In fact, this is how the Holy Spirit teaches you and I as Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing scriptural things with scriptural things. So we see that the Holy Spirit teaches. Amen. And how does he do that? By comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Amen. He teaches line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. Here a little, there a little, amen. He doesn't take things out of context, amen. When we're studying fact, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, amen, we're going to look all through the Bible. We're not just going to take a portion out of context and run with it. We're going to, or a verse out of context, excuse me, and run with it. And that's how a lot of heresies are started. people have the little hobby horse and they take one verse out of context and they just run with it. And they create a religion out of it, amen. But we're gonna go through all the scriptures, or a majority of them, that talk and teach about the Holy Spirit of God. So then, all of these activities that the Holy Spirit does stems from and involves intelligence. So we see, as we're looking at the personality of the Holy Spirit, we say the Holy Spirit has attributes of personality. We saw that he has intelligence. Number two, the Holy Spirit also possesses emotion or feelings, which is another attribute of personality. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God as Christians? By our sinful actions, of course. Every time you and I sin, amen, we grieve or we hurt that Holy Spirit. Then we also see in Romans chapter 15, let's turn there, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter number 15 and verse 30. The Word of God says, Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And what Paul is doing here, he bases exhortation to the believers in Rome to pray with and for him on the love of the Spirit. Love is an emotion or feeling that we all have, including the Holy Spirit. Amen. The next attribute that we want to look at that the Holy Spirit possesses, the next attribute of personality, is will. The important ministry of distributing spiritual gifts to individual believers is said to be according to the will of the Spirit. Look it with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. In verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that distributes the spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit's will is seen also. The Holy Spirit's will is seen in his ability to direct the activities of God's servants. And we have a wonderful illustration in Acts chapter 16. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16 for a moment. In Acts chapter 16, we have the Spirit leading Paul at Mysia and Troas. He forbade Paul to preach in Asia and Bithynia, and then he led him and his party to Europe through the vision of the man of Macedonia. Looking in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in verse 6 down through verse 12. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So what we're clearly saying is it was the Holy Spirit's will that Paul should not go to Asia to preach. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And again, that word suffered means the Spirit, it wasn't the Spirit's will. He didn't allow them to go. He didn't want them to go, amen. And passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. In a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, the next day to Nicopolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, in a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So the Holy Spirit definitely led Paul not to go into Asia, amen, but to go into Macedonia. It was his will for Paul not to actually go somewhere. Amen. And just some brief comments in passing, we see that Paul was instructed in a vision to go over to Macedonia. And the reason for that was because Paul at the time did not have the full written revelation, the Word of God. And we see in the Old Testament, in the early part of the New Testament, that God often spoke in visions and dreams, because unlike today, they did not have the full written revelation of God from Genesis to Revelation, amen. So that's why God doesn't deal with man, the saved man or unsaved man, in visions and dreams, amen. Because we have God's full written revelation in the Word of God. So there are some attributes of personality that the Holy Spirit possesses: intelligence, emotion, and will or volition. Now, as we move on, again, we're still looking at the personality of the Holy Spirit. We want to see that the Holy Spirit performs the actions of personality. Actions are attributed to the Holy Spirit that cannot be attributed to a mere thing or influence or personification or power or emanation. Such actions then must be those of a person, thus proving personality of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at no less than 10 of them. First of all, the Scriptures tell us that the Spirit teaches. Look it with me in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. The Gospel of John, chapter number 14. Verse 26. John, Gospel of John, 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We see right there in that verse, it says, he, referring to the Holy Ghost, the Comforter is another name for the Holy Ghost, he will teach you all things. That's the only Bible scholar, amen, that God recognizes is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the book, the Holy Bible, that we hold in our hands and we have before us during the study, amen. And then we also see another action of personality that the Holy Spirit performs. The Spirit testifies or witnesses. Looking in John chapter 15, verse 26. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now what Jesus is saying here in this verse, in the Gospel of John, it says when the Spirit comes, amen, the Spirit comes from the Father, he's going to testify who? Of himself? Of course not. Jesus says the Spirit's going to testify of me. We have to be very careful, my dear friend, when we run into folks that put a great emphasis on the Holy Spirit and testifying of the Holy Spirit and uplifting the Holy Spirit, amen? Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit primarily would testify of Christ, amen, and lift up Christ and elevate Christ and not himself, amen. Looking in Romans chapter number 8, Romans chapter number 8 with me, please. Romans chapter number 8, in verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And what the Word of God is telling us here is, this is a good way to know if you're saved. Because the Holy Spirit tells your spirit, amen, that you're saved, that you're born again. Because the instant, the moment a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and only him to save them, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells that person, that individual, permanently with their spirit, amen. So the Spirit, Holy Spirit, witnesses to your spirit that you're saved, that you're a child of God, amen. Also, we see that the Bible teaches that the Spirit also guides. The Spirit guides. Look at it in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8, the same chapter that we just read about the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, see, there's the guiding, they are the sons of God. So we see that for as many as are led, that leading of the Spirit of God is the guiding. The Spirit of God guides you and I. If we'll only let him, amen. He wants to guide. He wants to take control of our lives. Amen. But a lot of times you and I and our old flesh gets in the way, my dear friend. Amen. If we would only let him guide, life would be a lot easier. Amen. Then also the scripture tells us, as again we're looking under Roman numeral 2 of our outline, the personality of the Holy Spirit. And we're looking at the Holy Spirit performs actions of personality. We've seen the Spirit teaches, Spirit testifies or witnesses, the Spirit guides, and the Spirit convicts or convinces. Looking in John chapter 16 with me. John chapter 16. The Gospel of John in chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. And of course, Jesus is speaking. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. See, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts one of their sin. Not you and I. It's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. The Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God and cuts that heart to the quick, amen. Also, we see that the Spirit commands and directs people. And we have a great illustration of that in the book of Acts. Turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter number 8. Of course, in the book of Acts, we have the account of the Ethiopian eunuch who's coming back from Jerusalem. He's a Jewish proselyte, amen. And he's riding in his chariot. And looking in verse 29 of Romans 8. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Acts 8, 29. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And of course, we know earlier in the chapter of Acts chapter 8, there was a great revival going on in Samaria. People were getting saved left and right. And of course, Philip the evangelist was involved in that. And God tells him, leads him to leave that, amen, and go to this desert in Gaza, amen. But of course, God knew there was a man that needed to be saved, amen. And we praise God that Philip was obedient to the command of God and the will of God, amen. And that he did, that he obeyed the Holy Spirit, amen, and went to that Ethiopian eunuch, and we know, praise the Lord, the rest of the story is that Ethiopian eunuch went back, he got saved, he went back to Ethiopia, and we don't know the untold thousands and millions of people that get saved, amen. Because one man, Philip, was obedient to the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. Hey, the flesh would say, God, why should I leave Samaria? There's a great revival going on here, and people getting saved left and right, and go to the desert. There's nothing happening there, amen. But, my dear friend, God's ways are not our ways, are they, amen? We also see in the Word of God, again, as we're looking at the Holy Spirit performs actions of personality, the Spirit calls for special service. Look with me again in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Of course, in verse 1, we have the church and Antioch. They're together. They've been praying and fasting. Amen. And God calls out Paul and Barnabas for special service, for mission, to become missionaries. Amen. Praise God for that. We also see that the Spirit performs miracles. In Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And of course, this is again reference to the incident where Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch. He preached Jesus unto him. The Ethiopian eunuch heard the preaching of the word of God, was convicted, amen, got saved. And then, of course, after he was saved, he was baptized, totally immersed in water, and then we see that he came up out of the water, the Ethiopian eunuch rejoicing, and we see that Philip is caught away by the Spirit of God. And then we see that the Spirit also intercedes. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8 verse 26. And likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we see that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you and I in prayer, amen. So we've looked at, under point number 2, Roman numeral 2, the personality of the Holy Spirit. Point B, the Holy Spirit performs the actions of personality. 1, the Spirit teaches. John chapter 14, verse 26. The Spirit testifies or witnesses. John chapter 15, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit guides. Romans 8, 14. The Spirit convicts or convinces. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 8. And one that I want to mention before we close this point out that I didn't mention is the Spirit restrains. Look at in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6.